you lead us in a prayer for Miss Terry Kimball tonight, as she is in halfway around the world in Uganda, and no telling what they're up to mission-wise at this time, but would you lead the church in prayer for her and her medical mission team? Amen.
Places far away. Many of us will fear of those kind of things sometimes and don't know what to face the way the world is, Lord. But it's in our heart to serve you, Lord.
Yes.
To serve the people there medically, physically,
yes,
and most of all spiritually.
Amen.
Because the work she's doing, again, I know she's turned it over to you to guide her and direct her and to help those people in any way that she can. Lord, protect her, protect her team that she's with. Just whatever she's facing, Lord, is maybe there may be a problem with her getting water and food for her, Lord. We
yeah.
just don't know those things. We don't know the discomfort she'll be facing over there, Lord. So protect her and take care of her, Lord.
Yes.
And just make sure that, Lord, that, you know, your eyes and arms are watching her and arms around her, Lord, and guide her, Lord. We just can't wait to see her and so she could give praise for you for what she's done for you.
Amen.
Over there, Lord. Again, just bring her back home safely. Praise your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, if you will take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse 5 and take it through verse 12 tonight. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 5. We got it there tonight almost. I still see them Bibles turning. That's good news. Amen. You brought your Bible. Brought your Bible to Sunday night church. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beginning in verse 5. In the home stretch here. Praise the Lord for that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's been a joy going through this book with you. Beginning in verse 5, Paul continuing to write to the church of Corinth. We've read this several times. But we'll read it one more time tonight. It says, "But I will come to you," verse 5, "but I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I'm going through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." That's what's going on for this medical missionary team. A wide door for effective service has opened to me. But boy, I'm telling you, there's some devil over there in that part of the world, just like over here. Verse 10, "Now if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. But concerning Apollos, our brother, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you that we can be in your Word. We thank you for these that you have brought out on a very quickly darkening evening tonight, Lord, with the time change. We thank you for them, Lord. We pray for extra help and a safety as we leave here tonight, as we going to be driving in the dark. And Lord, we just pray you give us safety as we traverse these roads and get back to the house tonight. But Lord, as we're here tonight, we pray that you open our hearts, that you apply this word to us. Lord, that you encourage us, challenge us, convict us, and perhaps, Lord, tonight if we're lost, may this be the hour of our salvation. We thank you, we love you for all that you've done, for all that you're doing, for all that you're going to do for us. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Well, we're talking about work principles, and we've been talking about work principles. And why are we talking about work principles? What is the big zippity-doo-dah? Why talk about work principles? Do you know that the return of Christ is imminent?
Yep.
Jesus could come back tonight.
Amen.
could come back in the morning. He could come back on the way home. Jesus, there's nothing left in Scripture that needs to happen for Jesus to rapture His church. His return is imminent. And so how we live, I don't know about you, but I believe it could be in my lifetime. And so how we live, how we work, how we conduct our business. Friend, if He's coming back, I want Him to catch me doing His will. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to be raptured doing something I ought not be doing, right?
Right?
We'll be working till Jesus comes. You know, there's not anything wrong with working for the Lord. Amen? As we begin tonight, I want to share with you about Stephen and Philip. Stephen and Philip started out as deacons doing the practical, doing the mundane work of feeding the widows in the Jerusalem church in order to relieve the apostles for prayer and to the ministry of the Word, as Acts chapter 6, verses 2 through 5 records. Starting as waiters, they both became outstanding evangelists. Not only did Stephen and Philip's doing that lesser work allow the apostles to increase their ministry, but that work also prepared those two deacons themselves for preaching ministries of their own. You can pick that up in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, and read it all the way through Acts chapter 8, verse 40. Stephen's powerful, Spirit-filled preaching and his martyr's death are almost certain to have been used of the Lord to soften the heart and lead to the conversion of Paul himself. Philip evangelized much of Samaria, and through witnessing to the Ethiopian eunuch, remember that story? The Ethiopian eunuch, indirectly, this Philip was indirectly responsible for taking the gospel all the way into Africa. Becoming a faithful servant for the Lord does not begin with some great opportunity. Oh man, no. But with doing the best possible work for Him in the routine things. Where has God placed me? What is my role in the church? Well, I'm going to do wherever He's placed me and whatever His role is, I'm going to do it to the best of my abilities under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do it for His glory and His honor. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to knock it out of the park for my Lord and Savior. If we do not give God our best where we are, there is no assurance we will give Him our best anywhere else. Right? The only opportunity we can be sure of having is the opportunity we have right now at the present. So as we have already said, we should be abounding, not dabbling, not experimenting, not kind of getting a toe in here and a foot in there. We should be abounding in the work of the Lord. Like Paul and Timothy, verse 10 says, "Now if Timothy comes, see that he's with you without cause to be afraid, for he's doing the Lord's work, as I also am." Amen, church? Furthermore, these verses that we look at one more time this evening will give us, have given us, some principles for undergirding this most important work that we do for Jesus and His church. Remember what they are. Number one, we have vision. The Lord's worker must have a vision for what? A vision for the future. How are they going to get the gospel message out with the life that God's given them, with the time that God's given them, with the money that God has given them, with the job that God has given them, with the family that God has given them? What's the worker going to do? What kind of vision of the future? How are they going to strategize? The Lord's faithful worker plans and strategizes. He looks ahead with a sense of vision and expectancy. Man, God's truth is God's truth.
Amen.
It begs to be shared. It begs to be heard. It begs to be preached. Amen. While we ought to have a vision and plan ahead about what we'll be doing and how we'll be infiltrating the lost world, we must also be, remember, flexible. That was verse 6. Flexibility. And then we talked about thoroughness in present service. Thorough. I mean thorough. Flesh it out. Do it all. Don't just go halfway. Go all the way for God. Amen? And then last week we talked about acceptance of opposition as an opportunity. That passage, where does it say here? Oh, what was that? Was that verse 9? "For a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." You don't have any opposition where you're at. You don't have any opposition where you're at. You're either not doing anything, or you're in the wrong location. You're in the wrong location. Because I'm telling you, For a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. You know, if the pulpits of this country would quit trying to stir a crowd and have big fancy buildings, if they would just be faithful to this word right here, they would experience some opposition, you know what? But this country would be better off for it. This country, we're in the shape we're in. We've got two lost candidates for president. Not because of the homosexuals, not because of the lesbians, not because of the druggers or the pagans. We have what we have today because of weak preaching for 50 years. That's why we have it. We have pastors in churches, and we have staffs in churches that are more concerned about relationships and having a big crowd than they are about being faithful to the Word of God. And what you get a church that is a mile wide, thousands of people on this campus, or thousands of people on this campus, or this campus over here. This preacher's preaching and they're piping in. They're actually piping in his image. They're video transporting him, a satellite or tape delay or whatever. They're transporting his image to another location. Man, everywhere I look, there's guys that want to preach. Why won't you let somebody preach? Be live. Be live, amen? Be live instead of this this tape business. We're in the boat we're in because we're afraid of opposition. Afraid of. Just got to saddle up and go with it. What are we covering tonight? Well, I love this one. Verses 10 and 11. Now, if Timothy comes, see that he's with you without cause to be afraid. For he's doing the Lord's work as I also am. So let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. What is the work principle here? Well, it's as brothers and sisters and sisters and brothers and church folk, in Sunday school class over here or school class over there, Christian work together. Man, if we're on the same team, we ought to have a what? We ought to have a team spirit. Amen? We ought to have a team spirit. Paul was a team worker. He was a team player. But you really can't say player because he worked, right? He worked. He didn't have any kind of a big contract for some kind of professional team. He was a worker. Paul was a team worker. Though he was an apostle and was privileged to receive great revelation. How many letters in your New Testament? 13. 13, man. Great revelation from the Lord. He always worked closely with other Christians in whatever he did. Paul was never thought of himself, never tried to put himself necessarily on a pedestal. He did not think of himself as some kind of a ecclesiastical superstar. No, man, he was just the Apostle Paul. He never lorded it over those that he had authority over. Does that make sense to you? Amen. Paul was a team worker, but also in this passage, verses 10 and 11 of the passage that we read in 1 Corinthians 16, who else is that team worker? Well, that's Timothy, isn't it? Paul and Timothy. Paul sends Timothy and Erastus to Macedonia, Acts chapter 19, verse 22. And Timothy was to go on down to Corinth, perhaps carrying this very epistle that we've been studying, to remind the Corinthians of Paul's ways which are in Christ, as 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 tells us. When we're on the same team, when we have a team spirit, there's a few things we can take away from this and perhaps apply to our hearts tonight. Number one, when we're on the same team, we genuinely care about each other. Amen? We care about each other. The apostle was concerned that Timothy might be ignored, that he might be mistreated. Pastor, why would they ignore or mistreat dear Timothy, dear young Timothy? Why would they be that way to Timothy? The Corinthians were proud. The Corinthians were self-sufficient. The Corinthians were strong-willed, and Paul knew that if they resisted Paul's authority, they likely would pay much less attention to Timothy. So Paul was trying to get the old bluff in on them early. When we're on the same team, not only do we care about each other, but we help each other. Amen? We help each other. Paul admonished the Corinthians not to give Timothy any cause to be afraid. Why? Timothy was God's servant and a trusted and respected fellow worker of Paul's. The Corinthians were to treat him with respect and were not to intimidate or frustrate his work among them. I've pastored churches before, and actually there are people, believe it or not, that will attempt to frustrate your work. they want to frustrate. It's one thing to be neutral in a church. We don't really want you. I personally really don't care if you succeed, but I'm not going to work against you to see you fail. But there are actually people in churches that work against the leadership so that they will fail. It's unbelievable. I'm living proof and living testimony. Praise God it hadn't happened here, but man, I'm telling you, I've been places where that has happened. You say, you don't mean it. I say, I do. I really did. Amen? Paul was an apostle and was Timothy's father in the faith, yet he considered his young friend to be the Lord's faithful worker. They were equal in the faith, and because Timothy was doing the Lord's work, he was worthy of honor and respect just as Paul was. Isn't that great of Paul? Isn't that pretty cool of Paul to do that for Timothy? When we're on the same team, we care about each other. When we're on the same team, we help each other. When we're on the same team, you know what? Contentment is our attitude. Contentment and peace kind of rule the day for us when we're on the same team. Amen? When Paul was imprisoned and a group of leaders in the Philippian church was maligning the apostle, they knew the cat was away, so the mice were going to play, so to speak. And they were maligning the great apostle. And it was kind of like, we can do what we want to do. And what's Paul going to do about it? He's locked up. We can do whatever we want to do, right? I mean, they had respect or fear kind of from his authority. But they knew when he was locked up, they began maligning the apostle. And they were striving for self-glory. They were striving for self. They weren't trying to bring glory and honor to God. They were striving for their own self-glory. Didn't we talk about the Bakers a few weeks ago? And the Swaggerts? And the Oral Roberts? Did we talk about those people? Did we use them in an illustration, I think? These folks, it's easy to discern it in other televangelists. It's easy to discern. Isn't it easy, or am I the only one? Isn't it easy to discern that there's a lot of self-glorying going on there? A lot of self-glorying? I mean, I don't think we're reading too much into that when we make that statement or make that conclusion, right? Yeah, striving for self-glory. Paul, though, refused to be resentful or jealous. This was Paul's great concern. Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. This is what he comes up with. He says, "Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress and my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice." Isn't that great? Amen. "In that I rejoice." Praise God. Well, not only do we care, not only do we help, not only are we content, but when we're on the same team, serving with is our mindset. Serving with. I'm serving with New Hope Baptist Church. I'm serving with. Amen? In the reports of the missionary journeys in the book of Acts, we read of Paul and Barnabas. And then we read of Paul and Silas. And then we read of Paul and Luke. And then we read of Paul and Aristarchus. And then we read of Paul and Mark. And then we read of Paul and Timothy. That guy was always working with somebody. Amen? Always serving with somebody. Except when prevented by being in prison, Paul always worked with a partner in ministry. And he really, even in prison, he was partnered up in ministry. I mean, they chained a guard to him, right? And don't you think that was awesome? Amen? For the guard? I mean, how many guards do you think came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ being chained to the Apostle Paul? Good, not nurse. And so they come in lost. They get chained up to evangelist, church planning, apostle, Holy Spirit inspired Paul. And by the end of the shift, they're what? They're singing praises with Paul. And they get detached, and here comes in a fresh lost guard. And the guy looks at him and says, "Why are you smiling and so jovial? Man, this guy ain't had a bath in 3 days. He stinks. Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love it." He gets chained to the next guy. And before the shift is over, that Roman soldier has given his heart to Christ, to the kingdom of God, allowed the gospel to change him. I mean, no telling how many soldiers came, Roman soldiers came to faith because of Paul's imprisonment. Amen? That's awesome. In the book of Romans, Paul's deepest and most theological letter, he devotes the last chapter to commending a long list of co-workers. 24 individuals and 2 entire households in the work of the Lord. Both as a believer and as a leader, Paul closely identified himself with other Christians. Paul, listen to this. Here's Paul, inspired of the Holy Spirit. We've mentioned this before, but it deserves to be mentioned again. Inspired by the Holy Spirit to write 13 epistles that have made the canonization process in this holy and errant word. Here he is, church planner. Here he is, great evangelist. Here he is with this incredible testimony. And yet he was not ashamed to call the worldly and to call the carnal Corinthian believers his brothers, his sisters in Christ. Don't forget, he called the young Timothy a minister of the Lord's work, as I also am. He ranked Timothy with himself because of the glory of the work. Amen? Folks, it's the glory of the work that we do. It's for the glory of the King that we do it. Amen? Well, when we are on the same team, we have a serving with. That's our mindset. Serving with, right? We're helpful. We're content. When we're on the same team, we depend. We depend on other Christians. Paul not only acknowledged his dependence on the Lord, but also his dependence on other Christians. In no way or no how did Paul think himself as self-sufficient. No way. Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 and 26 reads this: "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need." Acts chapter 15, verses 37 through 41, God's Word reads this: "Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia, and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord." But notice this, how time and growth and confession and repentance and faith comes by hearing, and by the Word of God, how that all happens to young John Mark. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, "Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service." A guy that he once couldn't use, is a guy now that he's depending upon. Amen? When we're all on the same team, you depend on other Christians. And finally, Philemon verses 12 and 13, the book of Philemon. I have sent him back to you in person. That is sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. The name is hard for me to pronounce who he's talking about here, but it's the slave, right? Starts with an O. You got it? Anybody got it? Huh? Yeah, there you go. All right, very good. God calls some people to be leaders, doesn't he? And God calls other people to serve leaders, doesn't he? That's what he does. But sometimes those who serve leaders do that throughout their lives. But there are other times where those who serve are being prepared to be leaders themselves. And that's the only avenue I've ever seen a true leader come through, is that of service. If a leader won't serve, then I don't think he leads well. Amen? Whatever the roles of the workers are, when the Lord's work is done, by us. When the Lord's work is done by us, we ought to do it the Lord's way. And if we do it the Lord's way, the work will be done with a spirit of unity. The work will be done with a spirit of teamwork. The work will be done with a mutual dependence. Amen, church? That's the way it's got to be. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can be encouraged to have a team spirit in the church that you've called us to. Lord, sometimes it's so easy to get off and on our own tangent, becoming our own lone ranger, so to speak. Lord, we just don't see that modeled at all in the Scriptures. Jesus had His disciples, His apostles. Paul had his fellow workers. And here we are together as the church. Bind us together, Lord. May we do the work to bring glory and honor to you together, mutually, with a contented heart. Lord, not looking for self-glory, but seeking to bring glory to your name. Father God, thank you for a good church, a church that is willing to work, a church that has a want to bring glory and honor to your name. I pray that you bless this people's obedience and their submissiveness to your will and to your way and to your word. And Lord, may you continue to add to us so that we might continue to get the message out. Lord, not that we're trying to protect anyone's feelings, but Lord, we want to be accountable to your word and preach all of it. And Lord, there's a great many people that need to hear it, to receive Christ as Savior, to be a witness to their families and their neighborhoods and their workplaces. Lord, help us be a part of this ministry of reconciliation. Help us work till you come back. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right. Prayer needs tonight. Who wants to pray for the election Tuesday? All right. Brother Ronnie, you've already prayed. John, you want to lift it up? And then, Brother Ronnie, you pray after him. Amen.
But Lord, you know the situation with our country. get a hold of us, Lord. Shake us if you have to.
Yes.
Turn us back into a country of Christ, Lord.
That's right.
And Lord, we're asking, Lord, that you plant the proper people, Lord, in the positions, Lord, authority, Lord. And Lord, if they are not people, Lord, that are followers of yours, Lord, we ask that you shake their hearts, Lord, that you see on them, Lord, the desire to hear the will of the people, Lord, and that they would come to follow the Constitution that we've set up, Lord, and the moral laws that we have by your word, Lord. So we're asking, Lord, that you take hold of this situation, Lord.
Yeah.
And foremost, Lord, we ask that your will be done in each and every one of these situations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brother Ronnie, you pray.
Lord, just come to you, Lord. Praying for this country, Lord.
And, yes.
The leadership, Lord, for this country. We have presidential elections. We got elections for Congress, for Senate, for state reps, just all across this country and even to just our local cities, Lord. But let us just vote on the one. Sometimes we just have to vote on what's the best, you know.
That's right.
For us, Lord. And just make our Christian values be part of that election process. So many times, as Christians, we're silent.
That's
give
right.
Give us strength to stand up sometimes, Lord, and say, this is wrong. This is
that's right.
I want our country to be ran.
Hey.
And let's speak up. Let's write letters. Let's make phone calls. We're tired of the way this country is ran, Lord. So I hope this election reflects that, Lord, of your will, Lord. Again, Lord, we just voting for the best, Lord. And again, we just really admire somebody that in these positions that stand up for your people, especially for Israel, Lord.
That's right. Amen.
And that's one I'm looking at too, with their standards, Lord.
Yes.
What they look at you on abortions, what they look at with Israel, what they look at with the, you know, the society that we face today, Lord. It's just, that's our values, Lord. So again, we just come to you to give us the right decisions to make. And we definitely want you to protect this country. Pray this in your name, amen.
Amen. Other prayer requests tonight. Yes, ma'am, Ms. Karen.